You can always make more money, but you can never create more time. Time is the most valuable commodity that we ever have.
Hello and welcome at episode 134 of the Anne Horning Show. An introduction in English. An introduction in English because the interview with my guest is going to be in English, but I have to make a short introduction announcement in Dutch. Dit is de Anne Horning Show, waar het draait om hoe je online meer resultaat boekt voor jouw bedrijf en hoe je als ondernemer online gebruikt voor meer klanten en omzet. Mijn naam is Anne Horning en ik neem ondernemers met een team het werk uit handen voor online resultaat. Vandaag het gesprek met Robin Waite. Deze podcastaflevering is een gesprek met Robin Waite, de auteur van het boek Take Your Shot. En het boekje is niet dik, lees het lekker weg omdat het verhaal geschreven is en het is voor een groot deel gebaseerd op feiten door een klant van Robin in zijn coachingspraktijk. Robin had 3 stappen om succes te krijgen. Stap 1, zorg voor een specifiek doel. Stap 2, heb een behoefte om dat doel te bereiken. En stap 3, de stappen die je moet ondernemen om dat doel te bereiken. Dat zijn ze. So, from now on, we will continue in English. So, today, the interview with Robin Waite. Robin Waite is a successful business coach from the UK. With his Fearless Business Coaching program, he aims to help business owners double their turnover within 6 months, or certainly be en route to achieve significant growth within that time frame. Robin works with strategy rather than tactics, reminding business owners of the fundamentals of business. It was a great interview and I was happy to talk to him. Robin contacted me via LinkedIn and he asked me if I wanted to receive a free book from him, his latest book, Take Your Shot. I looked at the book, I downloaded the summary for Kindle to see what it's about, and I said yes because I liked the introduction. After that, I invited him for a conversation with him on the podcast, and that's happening now. So let's start and let's get the show rolling.
Welkom in de Erno Hanning Show, de podcast waarin je alles leert over de online sales funnel. Met succesvolle ondernemers en experts, praktische tips en tools die je helpen voor meer resultaat online. Dan nu jouw online sales funnel expert, Erno Hanning.
Deze podcastaflevering wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door Skyberate. De laadtijd van mijn website was niet goed. Een laadtijd langer dan 2 seconden kost me al bezoekers en klanten. Na een degelijk onderzoek van verschillende hostingbedrijven kwam ik uit bij Skyberate. ErnoHanning.nl wordt nu gehost door deze partner, die gespecialiseerd is in hosting van WordPress-websites en Magento-webshops. Skyberate is de partner voor mij waar ik op dit moment heel blij van word. Ben jij op zoek naar een betere en vooral snellere hosting voor je website? Dat zich dan weer vertaalt in meer bezoekers en klanten? Kijk dan op ErnoHanning.nl/Skyberate. Skyberate, Skyberate. Dankjewel. Last week, I got a message on LinkedIn from Robin Waite, and he sent me a message if I wanted to receive his book, and he asked me, because I have a podcast, and maybe want to read his book, and I said yes, and a couple of days later, I received his book on Friday afternoon in the mail, the actual book, the paper version, so I read it, I think in 2 hours or so. It's not a very thick book, and it's that why can I read it so fast? It's like a story. It's not like a story. It's a story. And during the story, he's telling you, he learns you lessons. The book learns you lessons. And I like that. So thank you, Robin. Welcome.
That's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on the show, Erno.
Yeah. And the thing is that this is your second book. The first book was The Online Business Startup. But I'm just mentioning that so that if you want to look about books from him, then you know there's more. But we're going to talk about it during this episode mostly about this book because I like the story so much. And the story is about a golf pro teacher, how he grows his business while he's teaching his golf lessons to a business coach. And it's a true story. Kind of course, but it used to be a client from Robin. So let's dig into the book and let's see, because one of the first points that you learn in the book is goal setting. And I want to dig a little bit deeper into that point, because you are talking about goal settings for 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year. And to me, that sounds very difficult, because I can imagine setting a goal for 1 year, and then you know a lot of things that's going on. But setting goals for 3 year and 5 years is very difficult, because then you don't know what's going to go, what competitors are doing in the meantime. Maybe somebody's killing the business, and you get new business, or you're just making it worse for you. In 10 years, I can imagine then you have these really bold goals, and that's again something different. So how do you do this?
So I think the key thing is that the further away you get from now, so when you start to move into sort of 3, 5, and 10 year goals, you've got to have like quite a big, you've got to be quite creative in terms of your thinking and have quite a big vision. I do a lot of work around sort of strategy as opposed to tactics. And what I mean by that is, and I think you touched upon this earlier on when we were chatting, that the tactical stuff are the things that you kind of do on a daily basis, especially within your business. Like you said, Facebook might not be around in sort of 3 or 5 years' time, for example. And I see kind of Facebook marketing, Facebook advertising, or social media generally, and those, the sort of faddy sorts of things, are the much more tactical thinking around business. The strategic thinking starts to happen when you look sort of further into the future. So if you wanted to grow $1 million a year business, for example, and you know that your average product is, say, for example, I don't know, £10,000 or $10,000, sorry, you know then that you need 100 clients a year in order to achieve that $1 million turnover business. And what you can do, if you set a goal out to get $1 million business, well, you can then start to just reverse engineer it and work your way backwards and start to work out how long that's going to take you. So it might be, for example, that, you know, your 1 year goal is just to grow your business by 20%, for example. You know you need another 10 or 12 clients, for example, in the next year. But then, yeah, the bigger goal, you've got to have a really clear and big vision for that.
And do you then, because in the book the main character, he's talking about his personal goals mainly in this setting. So he's about the house, about the time, about a car. It's mainly personal things, and actually it's also mostly things, possessions.
Yeah. There's a specific reason for that as well. That Russ's goals, well, most people's goals actually kind of end up being similar to Russ's, because I think it's just a modern age thing where you're busy working 9 to 5 and your time basically equates to money. And most people who come to me when I'm sort of working with them tend to have one of those two problems. So they don't have enough time, or they don't have enough money, or both, basically. Setting, what tends to happen is when you set goals for yourself, British people don't tend to like to talk about money too much, but it is a really good performance indicator about where your business is at, about where you're personally you're at as well. You know, and most people measure their success based on, you know, how big their house is, what sort of car they drive. And like Russ, for example, wants a Range Rover. But again, you've got to start to be very specific about it. So Russ doesn't just want any old Range Rover, for example. He wants an autobiography, potentially the hybrid version, which does 40 miles to the gallon, because he's a bit, you know, environmentally sort of thoughtful, and things like that. So, but you have to be very specific about it. Otherwise, you know, oh, I just want a bigger house. Well, how big? You've got to be quite specific in order to know exactly what you want. But yeah, it always comes back to time or money. And quite frankly, you can always make more money, but you can never create more time. Time is the most valuable commodity that we ever have. And most people I see quite typically want to get more money, because they then know that it will leverage back a bit more time for them as well.
Yeah, I can understand. But I can also understand, because we talked a little bit before we started to hit the record button, is that you have two kids now. And I think then at that point, it is also on your list is more time with your family, for example. That's an important part too.
It's massively important for a lot of people. Like, you know, that's our reason why. That's why we get up in the morning, is to provide for our families. You know, it's that very typical sort of hunter-gatherer man goes out to work, although, you know, now it's a much more equal sort of the genders are much more equal. So both men and women go out and work, and it's to provide then typically for our children, and to make sure that the time we do spend with them is spent well, and it's, you know, it's a pleasant time and pleasant environment for our children to grow up in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the parts that we didn't talk about now, but which is important, when you complete, for example, the goal of setting for 1 year and 3 year, a part of it is, you know, how much money you're going to make in the business. Like you said, it is an indicator of how successful you are, or how much you grow, or how much clients like you, however you're going to see this. And an important part for that is that you need to know what am I selling to my clients. So in the book, this is the second part, is you need to create a product.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is the thing which a lot of people get wrong. So a lot of businesses start up by, you know, somebody might have a job, and then they might decide that actually I can do it better than my boss's business, so I'm going to go off and do it on my own. And they might be, for example, a very good computer programmer, but they might never have run a business before. So they then start to have to learn about, you know, finance and accounting and marketing, sales and all the rest of it. But they go, well, I'll just go out and I'll offer computer programming to some other people at a networking event, and we'll see what happens. When you start to just kind of put that idea out there, it sounds a bit vague. So, for example, with Russ in the book, you know, he started out basically just, he was giving lessons to people, golf lessons, with no really clearly defined outcome of that. So people would show up and have a lesson, and he might give them some pointers and some tips on, you know, how to hold the club, their grips, their stance, their posture, and those sorts of things. But he wasn't teaching them any specific kind of outcome. He was just teaching them how to hold a club better. And so what I worked through, because Russ is a real character. He's not just fictional. He is a real character. He was one of my first sort of coaching clients, which I took on. And what we realized was that people had specific needs, say, for example, one of the guys was out on the course and said to Russ, I've got this golf competition up. It's a work thing. And I don't want to stand on the first tee and look like an idiot in front of my boss. I just want to hit a really, you know, straight tee shot off the first green, off the first tee. So we actually came up with five products with really clearly defined outcomes. So one was drive 30 yards further. One was drive more accurately off the tee. We had lower your handicap by 10 shots. This is for those of people, I'm sorry if you don't know anything about golf, yeah. Your listeners, but for those who do know a bit about golf, lower your putting average. And I can't remember what the fifth one is now. But so we came up with five products that were really, really clearly defined, and that Russ was 100% confident that he could deliver those results during the course of 8 weeks worth of lessons. There was a few other things which they had to do along the way as well. And in order then, because he now had these five clearly defined products, he could deliver them all in 8 weeks. We then looked at the pricing side of things, which is really, really important. So he was charging by the hour, £20 per hour, well, £25 per hour, but he had to give £5 of that to the of each lesson to the golf course owner. What we did is, so over the course of 8 weeks, that would have been about £160 worth of revenue for him. So what we did instead was we said, well, now we know what the outcome's going to be, and it's going to happen over 8 weeks. We've got something which is a bit more productized. It's packaged up a bit better. So we'll charge £595 for that. And he was incredibly skeptical of the whole process to start off with, but
yeah.
He had enough faith in me that I knew what I was doing, and I'd done it with my previous business. I'd done it with other businesses as well. So I said, well, go and print off this. We designed a little brochure for him. Go and print it off, print off 10 of them, and then just sell it to the next 10 people that come in asking for lessons.
Yeah, I think that's an important part that I want to stress, because it is a separate part in the book, which is called Take Your Shot, which is actually the title of the book too. After you define the products with Russ, the chapter comes from Take Your Shot. So the thing is that you need to start selling it.
Yeah, basically, we can have all of these fantastic ideas, but if we never do anything with them, it's absolutely pointless.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's almost like I have a lot of people, because obviously I've written a couple of books now, who come up and say, oh, I've got this great idea for a book. And do you know what I always say to them? I say, do you know what? You're actually being selfish by not writing it. Because some people would just procrastinate on it and go, well, I could write a book if I wanted to. And I'm just like, well, do you know what, actually? Because I know how much my books have helped people, you know, my readers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that if everybody out there wrote one book and they could help one other person, how much of a better place the world potentially could be. But yeah, so many people just have these brilliant ideas, but never act upon it. And I think that's one of the key things. You just got to try these things.
I have a second thing, because I've been talking to two people, one from the UK and one from the Netherlands, that work together with a coach in the UK. And I think it's related to this, because you talked to Russ and he was a bit skeptical about these product ideas and the pricing, especially with that. And I talked to these two people, and in the end, they came to the conclusion. I will list the episodes in the show notes.
Yeah,
they came to the conclusion that the one thing that made them different from the other people in the coaching group, because they were the only two who were really successful then in compared to the other members of the coaching group, was that they were actually just implementing what the coach was saying. So the coach was saying, "You need to get products." They made products. You need to up your prices, they up the prices. And so of course you have to sell, you have to take the action, you have to write the book, you have to do the things that you are given, take them to action. But also, if you have a good coach, you trust your business coach, and you know, you're paying a fair amount of money to him, to or her, to really, you know, get your business going, you must implement what they are saying, because they have worked through it and they know it's working. So you just need to copy it and start doing your own way.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it's all about, actually. You know, that's really important, because I know a lot of people who try and sort of, I don't know if you know the word boilerplate stuff. So like copycat, basically, coaches who will give people these tools, and then their clients will literally copy them verbatim. But what I say to my clients, every single business is different. It may only be subtly, like very slightly, but every single business is different. And what works for me or for Russ or for any other business out there won't work for somebody else, because every single business has a different set of clients. They have different products, different price points, and different economic factors like affecting their business, different marketplaces, and even geographic sort of locations. So again, this is about thinking strategically, not tactically, because tactics would be, well, I did this Facebook ad and it worked for me, and then somebody tries it and it doesn't work for them. But a strategy might be, well, I've tried some sort of placed ads in front of this audience, but your audience is slightly different. So, you know, you're going to have to take this idea and tweak it. And I think that's where, I mean, I've had, not every client always ends up at the same with the same result when they work with me, for example, but it's spot on. It's exactly, you know, if they don't implement, they won't get the results.
Yeah. Yeah. What I also liked about this part was that you talk about make a product, add a price, do the selling. And the selling, you made it easy by creating like a standard order form and then just have them sign on a dotted line. I really like that part, so that you have because I'm starting to use that myself as well. You really have a standardized order form, and you don't have to, make it specific for the client. You just have, have a regular order form that you can just send out and then make the client sign. And that's it, what you need to do.
Absolutely. And you can put those forms, you can have it online. People can sign it digitally. You can have printed versions. You can stick it at the back of a brochure or a book. It doesn't really matter. One of the biggest kind of bits of resistance I get when I talk about brochures and sign up forms and things like that is people say, oh, well, I've got to, if we get them printed off, we've got to make sure they're absolutely spot on. But actually, no, the great thing about the world we live in today is that everything is on demand, and you can literally you can either print it at home, or you can get some, short print runs of 50 copies of things done these days. So you don't need hundreds of the things lying around. And like Russ, literally, we just designed it and he copied out 10 copies of it and started selling straight away. And he sold 3 of his program within the first week. And this works for every single business. And one of the things that a lot of people have, again, a bit of resistance over is putting their pricing down in a brochure, because they're like, oh, but what if they ask for a discount, or what if they ask for something different or whatever? Yeah. Now, I always try and focus my clients' attention on creating a very small suite of products, especially for service-based businesses. Three products is ideal, no more than five. And it's that very typical bronze, silver, gold like escalator. And the reason for that is, if you know your clients well, and obviously you know that you can deliver those products, those products will typically satisfy 80 to 90% of your clients. And the 10 to 20% of people who it doesn't satisfy are probably not going to be the best clients. So that's why we put the sign-up form in there. You know, here are the options, bronze, silver, or gold. I would recommend you have the silver. It's £600 a month. And, you know, if we're good to go, you know, let's get signed up now.
Getting back to the part that I, in the book, I'm not sure if I understood it right, so I'm going to check with you now. Because in the end of the book, you talk about, you can have a client, which, because you talk about these five products that you've created for us, and but you also talk about these bigger pricing things that you have. Let's say you have a big price product for $10,000, and you, what you do is then you make it into smaller parts, and then you charge, for example, per month, and then you assume that the client will stay on longer with you, depending on what you do with them, of course. Is that how I understood it? So that you have like a more recurring revenue?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the foundations for any business, in my opinion, is when you can get clients to sign up to some kind of support or maintenance contract or membership or something like that. So a good example is we used to build, with my old agency, we used to build websites for clients, and we anything from sort of £1,000 upwards. And so we might, I remember one particular summer, we built one £10,000 website and a number of smaller websites. I mean, just for argument's sake, to keep the numbers easy, let's say it's 10 £1,000 websites.
Mm-hmm.
But what we hadn't anticipated was, what we hadn't spotted was, we were actually charging £50 a month for support and maintenance for both the large products and the smaller products. And when you then do the maths, so say, for example, if a client stays with you, I don't know, for the first year, the single like larger project was worth the same. Well, the single larger product plus 12 months worth of £50 a month. Sorry, the maths are going to get very confusing, so please bear with me. so
it's 180.
The first year for that larger product project worked out to about £10,600 worth of revenue.
Right.
If you then took those 10 smaller websites, each with £50 a month, all of a sudden that first year revenue grew to £16,000. So it's worth nearly 50% more. And that was solely based on those support contracts. If you then extrapolate that further over, say, 3 years, the large project has now only grown to £11,800. But those 10 smaller projects are now worth, in terms of their customer lifetime value over 3 years, £28,000. So they're worth nearly three times as much as the initial kind of project fees. And it's the same, like every business. The problem you get is if you've just got one product which you sell at £10,000 a pop with no support or maintenance, it basically means that all you're doing is you have a sausage machine where you're literally just selling one by one by one by one by one. And all that's going to create eventually, either for you or your team or whatever, is burnout. You know, why do you think most of the likes of Sky TV, for example, or BMW have service and maintenance contracts, and Sky have these outrageous sort of membership packages? Is because that monthly revenue is worth more than any large outlay initially. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And I believe, like, truly that every business needs some form of, like, you know, monthly recurring revenue coming in. Otherwise, they're not going to... I mean, we introduced the support and maintenance charges in 2000 and, well, sort of late 2007, just in time, luckily, for the recession to then hit in. And actually, it probably saw us through the recession, having those monthly support fees coming in. You know, we had best part of 200 odd clients at the time paying us £50 a month. That kept the business alive during that time, when every other web design business was falling flat on its face.
I can imagine that. And if you look at the company, because you've just recently sold it, Coconut Strategy, you already have also three packages, really clear packages there. Is there also a service included in that too? Is there a recurring revenue still there?
So what we ended up doing for the branding product, yes, there is an effect, although it's not necessarily a monthly figure. What it is we build a brand, and then there's two more products, which are the brochure workshop day and
stationary pack design.
Stationary pack, that's it. So those two are like what we call a logical next step. So you have your brand done, then you have your stationery done, and then you have your brochure created. And that works really, really well in terms of like creating custom lifetime value. And then people just want updates doing on a regular basis to their, you know, they might want a sign written or a roll-up banner, or they might want, you know, something else created for their business. So that naturally creates, once you've run the workshop or the three workshops and built up that rapport with and relationship with the client, when they want something else printed or designed, who are they going to go to first?
Yeah.
But yes, that business is actually, I sold that over the summer because through my first book, Online Business Startup, I was getting asked more and more to do. So we productized branding, basically. That's what we did, and websites, and very successfully with that agency. But I was getting asked more and more to do kind of consultations and coaching, basically, with clients to help them productize their services.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm predominantly now just coaching. That's what I do on a daily basis.
Okay, one question about that.
Coconut
site. They are still doing websites as well?
Yeah, so the Coconut Group's still going. There's other people running it. I have very little to do with it now. It's sold, but I have a small share stake still in the business. So
because you have these three workshops products, but do you still offer website design?
Not me personally.
No, so I know, I understand that, but the business.
The business does, yeah.
Why I want to bring this forward is because the website doesn't show that. It just shows these three packages. That's I think it's important to understand that you don't really have to eliminate a service that you do. Just make it very clear on your website that you have these three products and phases where you go through, and then you can, you know, tag on any other service to them, but don't put it on your website because it will just clutter everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep it simple. It's kind of like the if you think of a sales funnel, you just want something very simple for people to kind of get to know your business, and really then it's just about building a relationship. You can educate the client during a one-day workshop as to the other things that you do.
Yeah, because I think that's what most people do, is then when the business is growing and it becomes mature, they have done all these things and the website and everything is cluttered with all these products that they have been offering on at a time. And just like you said, just focus on three or maximum five products that will, you know, will enter the client into your funnel and teach them, and then you can do the other things that you do for other clients.
And it's always, I always like to encourage people to kind of think of that very typical like bronze, silver, gold type scenario. So one of the biggest mistakes business owners tend to make as well is they allow the client to their customer to make the choice of which product they go for. And again, a part of this is the process which I teach is, so you have an initial assessment, so you learn about your client to start off with, and then you sit down and have a consultation where you can ask them questions, they can ask you questions, but the sales pitch at the end of it is very, very simple. It's, you know, given everything that we've spoken about during this consultation, the product that I would recommend for you is X.
Right.
And it's so powerful, you know, because a lot of we talked about money earlier on and people's sort of mindset around finances and money. And a lot of business owners make a buying decision purely based on costs, because we want things, like, don't get me wrong, you know, there's been times when I've wanted things as cheap as I can possibly get them. But that might not always be the best solution. So I try and encourage my clients to make a recommendation as to, you know, based on what we've discussed, this is the product I would recommend for you, and these are the reasons why. So they then justify it and explain it, because there'd be no point, you know, like Russ, for example, if a client wanted to drive further, but the cheapest product was the lower your handicap, for example, and he just said, okay, well, I'll let you do the lower your handicap, and then, you know, 8 weeks later, they can't drive any further than they could before. The handicap's lower, but they couldn't drive further. You know, there would be a mismatch and the client wouldn't be happy. So yeah, you've got to manage the client's expectations. And there's this notion that, again, what I try and encourage people to do is, like, those three products or five products will suit 80 to 90% of your prospects. You know, the 10 to 20% of people who don't want those products or buy them for the wrong reason are probably not the best clients anyway, and they can go and buy from somewhere else, and that's fine.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree, and it sounds very largely like I do this all the time, which I don't. I make these mistakes all the time myself too, and it took me a long time to incorporate this in my business, but now I have like actually two basic products, and the rest will come from that. I really like the book. I think it's a good read, and if you're into stories, of course it's a really happy story in the end. Which is some of the things are going so fast that that's not really a reality. I don't think Russ. Maybe I can ask the question. That's really better than make assumptions. Did Russ really in the end go to the US and sell these 50,000 packages?
So he's still working on that. So the reason why I say that is up to about page 74, it's pretty much true to the true to kind of what happened during our consultation. After page 74, it then is kind of loosely based on what his 3 and 5 year goals are. Basically, he's got ambitions. He wants to go and speak in front of large audiences. He wants to get into the American marketplace because it's a much bigger marketplace than the UK is. Especially so far as golf is concerned. You know, I mean, they've got five times the population, but the size of the golf market is like 50 times what it is over here in the UK. Yeah. It's ridiculous. So he's got, and he wants to travel a bit and take his wife and kids away on holidays and things like that whilst he's working. So it's true to a point, but no, I've embellished the story a little bit, but it's based on his goals. So I'm pretty certain, given what he's achieved so far, he's the sort of guy that will get results like that.
So the book, I think it's like $5 if you get the Kindle version. Yep. But there is also the actual paperback version, and there is an audio version which you've recorded yourself. So let's do two things. So how can people get to you? You have your website. How do you get there?
So the website is just robinwaite.com. Obviously, all of my books are all over Amazon. So you'll be able to buy the Kindle, the paperback, and the audiobook through Amazon. And then I've got a little offer. Should we talk about the offer for your
please.
Listeners? So take your shot. I recorded the audiobook and it came out about 2 weeks ago. So I'm looking for some people to listen to the audiobook and review it. So I've got currently 25 promo codes for audible.com. So I don't know how we're going to do this. Perhaps in the show notes, if you want to get people just to drop me a line through Facebook or through my website, first 25 people who get in touch will get a free copy of the audiobook.
And I think it's wonderful. I'll make sure that we in the show notes. But let's do this, because it's Robin Waite. It's RobinWaite.com.
That's it. Yep.
And so you can go to the contact page there and fill in the form and send him a message that you went through this podcast show and you are looking forward to the a code for the audiobook, because you will do a review, of course, in the end.
Yeah.
And I'm not really into audiobooks. I like I said before, I really enjoy podcast listening, but it is so easy to listen to an audiobook while you're traveling, while you're driving in your car. So I would really encourage you to use this offer that Robin's giving you. And it's gonna be a joyful listening, and I'm sure about that too. So it's not gonna be that you need to just think about, oh, I need to do a review. Just think about, it's gonna be a very interesting story to listen to. Thank you very much, Robin.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And I'm going to just say the subtitle, How to Grow Your Business, Attract More Clients, and Make More Money. And like we said, just the basic things that we just discussed before, it's really important that you, if you're looking for more success with your business, that you have a very specific goal. You have to have a desire to really get to that goal, to achieve the goal. That's important. You have to have desire, because if you have desire, you can overwin any difficulties that you will find on your on your trip, and you will get and you will find difficulties. In the end, then the step three is that you need to do the actions to really get to the goal. So you need to do things. You need to implement stuff. You need to, you know, doing sales. Like you, Robin, when you are want to have people to know about your book, you have to ask around on LinkedIn, say, and look for people who have a podcast and say, do you want to interview me and do you want to get my book?
Absolutely. And hey, presto, look what happens.
I agree. That's, you know, that's action is a reaction and good things come from that.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Robin.
That's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we'll talk next time.
Yes, look forward to it.
Dat was het gave gesprek met Robin. Alles gebaseerd op zijn boek, maar natuurlijk ook zijn eigen ervaringen. Je vindt de namen en links die we noemen in het artikel dat bij deze uitzending hoort. Ga daarvoor naar nohanning.nl/show134. Als je op de website bent, dan kun je luisteren naar de podcast. Maar wat je ook kunt doen, is ervoor zorgen dat je elke keer de podcast in je telefoon krijgt. Automatisch. Je doet mij en mijn team ook een enorm plezier door je te abonneren op de podcast. Want dan zien wij dat jij naar ons luistert. Ga bijvoorbeeld naar iTunes of naar Stitcher. Zoek op de Erno-Hanning Show. En klik op de abonneer. Kleine moeite en je doet mij enorm plezier. Heb je vragen, opmerkingen, reacties? Wil je iets kwijt? Stuur een e-mail naar podcast@nohanning.nl en ik hoor graag van jou. In het laatste stukje van ons gesprek hadden we het over het boek wat je kunt krijgen. Wil jij naar het boek luisteren en een review over schrijven op Amazon? Stuur dan een e-mail naar robin@robinwaite.com. RobinWaite.com. Robin heeft 25 couponcodes klaar liggen voor de mensen die zich als eerste melden om zijn boek gratis te beluisteren via audible.com. Titel van het boek is Take Your Shot, How to Grow Your Business, Attract More Clients and Make More Money. Ik wens je veel plezier bij het luisteren of lezen van zijn boek. Dankjewel en tot de volgende.
Dankjewel voor het luisteren naar de Erno Hanning Show op ernohanning.nl.